Very quickly, it's rubbish, isn't it, all that pretending to go away thing? Back there on my knees going, please justify my childhood. Very pathetic. But now, it's the summer, as you, some of you will know. And a lot of you are going to go away. And I've just come from touring up and down Britain, and I've been to some other places. And you know, it's amazing with accents and so on, how people, how you can hear each other from miles away. You know, it's very easy to recognise your own kind, really. Some of the voices are very hard to relax around. You know, like Cockney, I've always found a bit tough. Because even if somebody says something nice like, do you want a cup of can more tea? You think you're going to die, you know. The one that's the hardest, actually, is the estuary voice. What they call the estuary voice, which is a sort of London orbital area towards Essex and going east, I think. And it's a very strange one. It's very boneless, you know. It sounds, everything everybody says sounds like they're saying, no, I don't think I'll have that one. I think I'll have the other one. It's a little bit milder. You know that if you hit them, they'd splat. And... But when English people go away, they recognise one another very easily. You know, they go to France or Spain or Italy and blend into the environment. You'd never know they were there. You sit there enjoying the atmosphere, talking to the waiters, saying, what do you mean it's now fucking chips? I'll come here on a plane, you cunt. I've got children here. What am I supposed to do with this fucking tomato fiasco? What is that? You dago fucking... We're leaving. And Americans find it very easy to recognise one another because the voice does tend to carry. If you think about it, you've never had to say to an American, I'm sorry, what was that? Come again. But with Irish people, there is a thing, there is a phenomenon, and you see this all around the world. You can go anywhere. You go to Los Angeles or Seoul or Tokyo or Minsk, anywhere. You see Irish guys and you know they're Irish because of a phenomenon called Irish hair. And it looks like this. How's it going? Have you been here long, have you? I've been here for 40 years. I'm saving up to go home. I can't quite seem to get it together. I don't know why. Do you want a drink? Do you want a ham sandwich? I have one in my pockets. Every so often, some politician or footballer or actor or whoever it is caught in a hotel room, surrounded by hookers and cocaine. And everybody else goes, oh, the shame of it. How could he? How absolutely dreadful. I'd never do that. I've never had the chance, but I would never, ever do that. Oh, the disgust that courses through me right now. You could bottle it. But what else are you supposed to give hookers in a hotel room? Yogurt, anybody? I made some yogurt this morning. Would you like some? It's got granola and everything, you sure? Go on, have a bit. Everybody is corrupted by hotel rooms. You can't help it. It's the only place in the world where you walk in and the first thing you do is steal everything before you take your coat off. Bouncing up and down on the bed, wearing the shower cap, thinking, what can I do in here? I mean, I have tried. Believe me, I have tried to like rap. And it makes me feel so very, very old. I have tried to get home with the Downies. I can't do it. I understand blues music, you know? It's wonderful, a story of a people's disenfranchisement. I ain't got nothing under taking that away, too. I haven't even got a guitar. I'm strumming my fucking belly button here. Wonderful names, all those guys, you know, Blind Dead McJones. But with rap, it's not like that. It's all about what people have got, about attainment, you know? It's very aggressive. I got pecs, I got limos, I got bitches. My limo's powered by bitch juice and all my spare pecs are in the limo.
They never say anything nice. Ever.
It's always, I'm gonna fuck you up, I'm gonna dig up your dad and shove him up your mum and drink your blood from a drinking cup, you fuck.
Dignity in that. What happens to these people when they get old? I hope there's a retirement home for them with some huge burly nurse going around saying, it's time for your enema, Eminem. Leave Peter these biscuits alone. Don't do that again. It's such infantile mentality. You know, you go up to any five-year-old and say, what do you think of the world? And they'll go, I think it's rubbish, because they can't get stuff I want. When I want it, I want a big purple chair and French fries and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, now! That's a rap song. Because that's what they all think of. These guys get millions of dollars for this horseshit. And they immediately go out and spend it all on a floor-length white mink coat, cheeseburgers, and a jet. I was in this bar a couple of years ago. I will never forget this. It was called, the song came on, and it was because the bar was terrific, it was empty, you know? I went in, I had a paper or a book with me, I just wanted an hour, you know, to sit and be. And it was wonderful, nothing nicer than an empty bar. And then this song came on. I will never forget it. It was called The Funk Soul Brother. I'll always remember that because it was also all of the lyrics. It was that school of songwriting, you know, very easy on the words in case they get wasted. I don't know why there's a shortage. And it sounded like a million fire engines chasing 10 million ambulances through a war zone. And it was played at a volume that made the empty chair beside me bleed. And it went, the funk soul brother, right about now. Yeah, it's the funk soul brother. Check it out. It's funk soul brother, essentially. He's coming at you. It's the funk soul brother. And after a while, I began to penetrate the meaning of this song, you know. I gathered that somebody was about to arrive, and everybody else was terribly excited. Maybe he was bringing cake or something, they didn't say. But the thing is, he wasn't there yet. That was the hook. And I'm not saying it's a bad song, you know, or anything like that. All I'm saying is that you could get, a broom, say, and dip it in some brake fluid and put the other end up my arse and stick me on a trampoline in a moving lift and I would write a better song on the wall. That's all I'm saying. A lot of it depends on how you are poisoning yourself. The best thing, really, is wine, I think, because it's quite slow release and imaginative, and, you know, and you can eat and things and talk to people, and then after a while somebody will say, I know. Let's go potholing in Croatia. And you'll think, fine, I know a guy who can give us a lift. Me. It's not like that with beer. I think beer is actually made probably by food companies, you know? Just to make people stalk the streets at 1 a.m. going, what's that? Is it moving? Get it! It's a nun! Fry her! And vodka is very, very deceptive. Because they market this to children now. You know? 3-year-olds. And it's very evil because it's a very deceptive drink. You drink it and you think, what is this? This is pointless. You can't taste it, you can't smell it. Why did we waste our money on this bloody... Why are we on a tropic island? What? And whiskey is, you know, people drink a lot of that in Ireland. It's a very hard drink. It's very... It turns you into two people, you know. One of you is very nice, who go up to total strangers and say, come in, sit down, for God's sake, have something. Have my bed. And then you go up to people you've known and loved all your life and say, get the fuck out of my house. Go and get out and leave a tip. But the most dangerous drink is gin. You have to be really, really careful with that. And you also have to be 45, female, and sitting on a stairs. Because gin isn't really a drink, it's more of a mascara thinner, you know? Nobody likes my shoes! I made 50 fucking vol-au-vents, and not one of you, said thank you. And my favorite, everybody shut up. This song is all about me.